We are live from Las Vegas, Nevada. We are at the National Sports Shooting Foundation SHOT Show. It is the biggest firearms industry trade show in the world, and we're smack dab in the middle of it. We have a booth set up in the hallway. We're seeing all these people walk by, going to the exhibits. You can walk this place for three days and not retrace your steps. So welcome. We've got Chip DeBlock is with us, of course. We have Dr. Joel Schultz. He's a retired chief from, he lives out in Colorado, beautiful Colorado. And so we're going to talk about some things that are happening just in the news in the last day or so. And one of the ones I want to talk about is I saw on, I think my YouTube feed, I saw a picture of a...
Well, can I stop you just right now? And I apologize, but I want to mention our sponsors. And just on the intro, we have our title sponsor, you know, and we love our sponsors, you know, and, you know, just like we love Dr. Schultz, you know, but we have Gauls at Gauls.com, our title sponsor. We also have ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, our satellite radio. We have ArrowPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, our Medicare.live safeguard recruiter, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them for streaming over a million people right now during the live show. We have TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, FishOrlandoBass.com, hook up with Zach, do a bass fishing charter or the alligator hunting, and also a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thanks for hearing our content, Brian. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, our very own, who's running late, TravisGH.com, or TravisGH.com, TravisGH.org, who has lawofficer.com. So thanks for all those entities for helping make the show happen. Back to Brett.
All right, getting back to what I was talking about. So in Minneapolis today, I saw a picture of a guy. He's the anti-ICE group standing out in a crowd of people. He had an AR-looking device strapped across him, and he had what looked like a suppressor on the end of it. I don't know if it was licensed or not. I don't even know if it's a real suppressor, because you can have fake ones as long as they don't reduce the decibels, and it's not a suppressor. So I looked up Minnesota law, and in Minnesota, you can only openly carry if you have a permit. So apparently this person has a permit, so his name is known to somebody out there. My concern is open carry on both sides. It's going to lead to a clash. It's going to lead to gunfire, lead to somebody being injured. That's my nightmare scenario. But I just think something like that in Minneapolis is coming, because it's very hot. They just invaded the church. What's next?
You know, this over the last, 5-10 years, maybe, despite all the anti-gun rhetoric out of Washington, more and more states have allowed open carry, constitutional carry, no permit required for concealed carry. My current home state of Colorado is slowly trying to peck away at the Second Amendment by more and more requirements. The Supreme Court, being an originalist, most of those justices are opening up the original intent of the historical intent of the Second Amendment. But all of that requires that responsible gun owners do responsible things, and toting around a real or not real long gun in a crowd where there are existing tensions is not responsible firearms ownership. So it's kind of like, I don't want to make a real strict comparison, but these violent protesters and very disruptive and disrespectful protesters are really doing more harm to the First Amendment than those that are trying to restore some order.
Right.
And in the same way, irresponsible firearms owners do damage to the rights of responsible firearms owners, you know, and we have to have what should be common sense has become statute for, you know, you've got to lock your gun in your car. Got to keep the gun away from kids. There are certain zones where you're not allowed to carry a firearm. And as long as we, you know, tread that line and operate within the law and within the Constitution, we'll be able to maintain and expand our understanding of what those rights are. But knuckleheads like this don't do us any favor.
No, the more that people pose each other out in the street with firearms hanging off, they're just going to get worse. And I don't know if you know, in Florida, we just, a court case negated our ban on open carry. So in Florida, we now have open carry. It wasn't a statutory change. It was a lawsuit that caused us. And I read the lawsuit, and it was interesting, because one of the points the judge said was that back when the Constitution was signed, open carry was normal. Concealed carry was sneaky. So basically, we're just going back to the way it was all those years ago. But since they changed that in Florida, and Chip, you can jump in on this, I haven't seen one single person openly carrying a firearm. I talked to people that have seen other people, but it's not like a big wave of this.
Well, it, in Missouri, when I was in law enforcement there, the law changed from a carry concealed weapon being a felony to you can carry with a permit. And of course, open carry had always been lawful. And so people would ask me, aren't you afraid of you know, more and more people carrying concealed weapons? And I assume everybody's got a weapon in the first place. It's not going to change my world at all.
I'll just like carry anywhere I can. People say, are you carrying your gun? I say, I'm awake. Therefore, the answer is
yes.
But the open carry, although I'm okay with it legally, constitutionally, I'm not a big fan of it because I don't want a bad guy seeing my gun. And I don't want other people seeing my gun and becoming uncomfortable with their, and because of their vicinity to me. So I think we owe it each other as responsible gun owners not to put other people ill at ease because we have a constitutional right to do it. Just because we can do it doesn't mean we should do it.
But what about, there's a certain kind of a guy that's going to carry a gun, open carry, in my opinion. I mean, let's face it, you're at a huge tactical disadvantage by doing that because you're letting all the bad guys know that you're carrying, right? So when something bad goes down, who's the first guy they're going to take out?
Yeah, it's like the guys that run around, and of course, I'm guilty of myself, wearing those tactical pants that got 14 pockets on it. I call them kill me first pants.
Yeah.
Because when a bad guy's looking to smoke first, he's going to look for the guy that's got a bulge in his shirt. He's going to look for a guy that's got a gun hanging out. He's going to look for a guy. So when we're out there carrying a gun, we should be the, if I use this right word correctly, the most innocuous person we can be. We're not advertising. But if maybe one day I want to open carry because of the situation, and I'm okay with that. But typically, we don't see people openly carrying. And I believe you're onto something. Most gun owners, the vast majority of gun owners, are responsible people.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, what we'll do is, you know, there's a sign, you know, we have to have the camera where it is where I can catch, and there's, you can see the men's room sign behind me.
Oh, great.
So what we're going to do on break, we're going to switch it, and we're going to put women's room on there during the break. When we come back live satellite, we're going to catch the action firsthand and see what happens. We'll put the, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I think it's.
Well, I love, cool. we saw Travis walking down the aisle with, he's going to join us, and right to the restroom. Yeah, right, so I don't know if we're going to see him or not in the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, we'll get him in on the next break. And we're getting close because we've got about 3 minutes before we take our first commercial break. Right. But good job, Brett.
Oh, please. You know, I'm here for you, Chip.
So, well, let me ask you this. Since you're running the show today, we've got National Guard involved, but National Guard can be activated by the governor, Tim Walz, or by the president, Donald Trump. So, and Chief Schultz has weighed in on this before privately. I don't know if we've done that on the show, but is there a potential problem?
You've got all these forces coming together in one epicenter of power. You have the state government, and they're being accused of fraud, and they're anti-ICE. Then you have the president. He wants to nationalize the National Guard to protect ICE from the people who are attacking ICE. Is it possible one day he'll have to say the National Guard is opposing ICE, therefore I'm bringing in federal troops to regulate everybody, which could include the National Guard? What a horrible position for those National Guardsmen to be in when they're thrust into this pull and tug of who's in charge. That's got to be an untenable situation for their commanders.
Yeah, I think the term for it is civil war. It could really collapse badly.
Yeah. I'm going to keep an eye on Fort Sumter. If there's another shot fired, then we'll know what's going on. Somebody calls me a Yankee.
Well, guys, we've got about 1.5 minutes before we do our first commercial break when it gets to 9:17. So.
Well, I'm hoping that since it's winter in Minneapolis, that the conditions, which are horrible, will help mitigate the crowds on the street, right? It's just too doggone cold to go out there and really protest at will. So hopefully maybe by the time it starts warming up in Minneapolis, some of this tension and some of this rhetoric is going to come down. But everybody I see, Don Lemon included, when he invaded that church, he was all bundled up.
Yeah,
it's cold up there.
Yeah, I agree.
If not, you might have, but I have not encountered cold like that.
Well, if you want to hear what some of the people online are saying, we've got Brett Bartlett is hosting the show. That's fascinating. And that's from Sergeant George. I think he's over in Hayward, California.
Yeah.
And then we need a nickname for the three of you. Well, hold on, because Travis H is going to be joining us after the commercial break, and you need a nickname for the four of us. And we've got Arthur Johnson from Richmond, Virginia. So thanks for watching the show. And good afternoon, gentlemen. Stay safe. Keep doing things. We got Kenneth Payne. We got Laya that's watching the show. So people all over the country are typing in on the stream. And
if you guys want me to continue to host, give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and I'll yank that microphone right out of his face.
I tell you what, I appreciate the job you're doing, Brett, but I appreciate Chip for
we'll be right back
over the keys to the car.
See, I'm just the face. I'm just the face.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
And now I want to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries, and you heard that correctly, so no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transition to a sidearm or a conducting energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, take it from us. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, most innovative products that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip, Travis, Brett, and the Chief sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. And when you go, please make sure you watch the cool videos and watch that Dan De La Cruz guy put the glove on people. ComplianTechnologies.com.
We are back from the break. There's good news. All of you out there, cancel the silver alert. We have found Dr. Travis Yates. He is here with us. And Travis, thanks for being here. Our topic is what's going on in Minneapolis. We've been talking about some Second Amendment stuff, open carry versus concealed carry. We're talking about that, but what's new and exciting this morning,
Travis? Well, other than the fact that, this is awful close confinement here, Brett.
Yeah.
I liked you guys before, but I'm sure I like you this much. And also the fact I'm glad that myself and Jack Carr, author of The Terminalist, was right out here, and you chose me to be on the show over Jack Carr. That's pretty awesome, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, obviously, SHOT Show.
Well, I got to tell you, Travis, when you toss a coin, it's always a 50-50 shot. So you went. It came up tails.
Yeah. You did not win on that one. But, Minnesota is crazy, man. And obviously a lot comes to mind. But one of the things that really struck me this week, the Attorney General Keith Ellison, everybody knows that I sort of thought he was a political hack because his decision making doesn't understand how what prosecution works. But after his comments after this church incident, I'm kind of thinking maybe he's just dumb. Because what he said in the interview after that was, hey, it's their First Amendment right to go in that church and do that. Now, I don't want to have to educate an attorney general of a state.
Right.
The First Amendment is about intrusion from the government. You can't walk into private property and do that. Okay. Your right doesn't trump the rights of them to freely assemble and for their First Amendment right. And so obviously he probably does know that, but because this derangement that these politicians have, they just can't admit that it's wrong. They just can't admit it's wrong. And I think they lose a lot of credibility. Yeah, they maybe speak to their base of the purple hair people. But I think most of America sees that. And that's where I think this is really messed up. You may have had somewhat of an argument that, hey, ICE is doing this or ICE is doing that because they blitz these partial videos and they're giving you out of context information. But when you do that, most of America sees that and goes, okay, hold on here. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I know the federal government has subpoenaed a bunch of information. Don Lemon, your favorite CNN personality, they've gotten all of his video because he filmed the crimes occurring.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting how it plays out. I would tell you, for somebody that thought this was completely wrong of what happened, I would tell you that there needs to be arrest, because there needs to be accountability for that. Can you imagine every church in America has to deal with that? What would happen if that was your church, Dr. Schultz?
I don't know. We talked about that yesterday. What, you know, we know what to do with a an active harmer or a disruptive person or a drunk or, you know, some domestic violence that's kind of in progress. But to have 40 people march into the I would be happy that that would double our church attendance. But
well, what's interesting is, you're right, I don't know we've ever had to prepare for that, because who thought that that would ever occur? It's so outside normalcy, right? Pretty wild.
And we think, okay, it's only going to happen there. It's only going to happen. We don't know. My little church there in Land O'Lakes, Florida, we could be having and some group decided to come on in. You know, so when you start thinking it can't happen in my little location, you got to be very, very careful. But they need to nip this right here. This is the biggest incursion I've ever seen in my life. The biggest incursion against private citizens in our states. I've never seen anything like
it. Let's talk about the reality if you're in that church in St. Paul, Minnesota. It wasn't too long ago at a Catholic school, someone went in and shot that place up.
Yeah.
This is happening across the country. Keith Graves, the expert in this area, is here at Todd's show. I'm meeting him later today, and he'll tell you that. So your concern isn't, oh, these are just people exercising their First Amendment rights like crazy Keith Elsa says. This could be potential violence, because what precedes violence, and of course I talk about this all the time on the show, what precedes violence, what's the sentinel indicator? It's anger. And it's words, as we call it, declarations. And so, yeah, they didn't commit violence, but how, when you look at that, they were certainly trying to provoke it.
Yeah, and don't think for a second, all you listeners, that those people didn't go in there. And this is plan A is to scream and shout and make them uncomfortable. But let's have plan B, which is if they come at us, we will say we're protecting ourselves.
Speaking of the devil, there's Keith Graves. I just mentioned him,
brother.
And here he is. You can't see him, but we're talking about the St. Paul Church incident. Yeah. And we're going to have Keith Graves on the show tomorrow, Keith. He's going to commit right now. He'll be here tomorrow to talk specifically about that. But yeah, everybody wants to tell you this is about some sort of speech. But how do you not sit in those church pews and not understand anger and declarations and words matter inside the church covenant?
Yeah. It's part of the big plan. I think they would, the other side would have loved if those churchgoers had bowed up physically against them. That would be the best outcome they could have seen for the anti-ICE, anti-Trump movement.
You know, there's plenty of historical precedent, and I think about, you used the term yesterday, useful idiots, and the discussion of that is that the leftists who are the most active become the first victims of the government that they're supposedly hoping for. And you know, I was watching the video of the original speaker of that term, and he said, you know, these leftist activists are going to be the first ones lined up against the wall and shot. Now, I'm not saying that I'm predicting that, but I don't want to think that a whole part of the population is just deluded. But there is a segment of the population that is deluded about what this leftist activism does. Now, I understand the extremism of the right and, you know, the worry about the excesses in our current White House. But the real danger is from the leftist extremists who are agitating in a way that they're going to suffer from.
Well, Dr. Schultz, there's a difference. And let me just explain the difference. There's extremists on both sides. We saw the extremists on the left just this week. Let's talk about the extremists on the right. The Biden administration threw those extremists in federal prison in his administration for praying in front of an abortion clinic. Right. They used that same act, the KKK act, as we're talking about this church.
Peaceful.
But they were thrown in prison, elderly women, for praying in front of an abortion clinic. So that's activism on both sides. But there's a difference in activism. You're not trying to provoke a reaction and violence by praying in front of places.
I saw somebody this morning on Facebook that said, and they did an AI video of it. What if a contingent of Republicans had marched into a Muslim service and done the same thing. Where would be the outrage?
You got me going now. Let's get this on. It's a SHOT Show. Do you think for 1 second that Don Lemon would have pulled that stunt in a synagogue, in a mosque, anywhere?
No,
they particularly went to a Christian church because they knew. They knew. If you would have walked into a synagogue, you walked in the other area, something drastically happens.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, guys. Hey, we're coming up on our next commercial break. Stick with us. We will be right back, guys. It's time to talk about Aero Precision and AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. So born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. The aerodefensible Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. You know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts to me, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards. They hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com already. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored to the civilian customer. And what that means is that now you guys can start getting your hands on the Primo stuff. And we're not done. Their M5 AR three-way platform is nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, that is AeroPrecisionUSA.com.
Welcome back. We're at LEO Roundtable. We're live in Las Vegas, Nevada at the National Sports Shooting Foundation SHOT Show. We have Dr. Joel Schultz and Dr. Travis Jason, of course, our yoga master, Chip DeBlanc. We were just talking about Minneapolis, what's going on. I had a thought during that break. What a horrible position for law enforcement in that city, because I think at some very a point not far in the future, they're going to be asked, pick a side. You're going to be for us, you're going to be against those poor guys. And then we have the National Guard coming in. So we have all these forces converging on Minnesota, and it's a powder keg. And my concern is, y'all, something's going to blow up. Some little spark is going to blow it off.
But is that necessarily a bad thing, having to pick a side? I mean, how many people have been in the middle?
Side. There's only one side, and that's the law. There's only one side.
Well, you would think, yeah.
Yeah, enforce the law. You know, I used to tell people all the time, if you don't like the law, don't yell at me.
Is there something to be said, Brett, that the Minneapolis officials have created this? Because the fact that they will arrest illegal immigrants on violent crimes and let them out, I think there's been a couple thousand, the ICE has said that that's happened, it forces ICE have to go into that city.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't taking a big view of this. The only reason ICE is in our cities today is because of what happened under the Biden administration, letting millions and millions of violent criminals in this country. If that would have never occurred, ICE would not be in these cities.
Right.
And it's a shame that legal immigration, you know, we are a nation of immigrants. We appreciate people that are coming for a better life. They want to assimilate. They want to learn the language. They want to be productive. They want to pay taxes. And that group of people has been maligned by the people that are running in line and coming over to do criminal activity. And the stuff that we know is very frightening, but the stuff that we don't know, you can call me paranoid, but do you think that there aren't sleeper cells that have just wandered across the border with no vetting at all?
You can't let millions of people in this country not vet them and not understand that's what's happening. And listen, you're right. We have brain cells, so we understand the difference between legal immigration and illegal immigration. And what the left is trying to do is they're trying to put it all under, oh, you don't care about immigrants. No, of course we do. That's why we don't want illegal immigrants
that have gone
through the vetting process. So I feel for the people that have gone through that 10 or 12 year process to become legal, did it the right way, and now they're sitting back going, what is this about? That's why when you look at the polling, most of the legal immigrants are not for what's happening. And, listen, I don't understand what we're watching. It's kind of a historical, but we have a political party that is clearly laid their stake on, because look at what they get more upset about. That's where you know where their power is.
Right.
Their power base is, what do they scream more about since Trump? Fraud and immigration enforcement. So that tells me both of those are sources of their power. Fraud is a source of their monetary power, and immigration is the source of their political voting power.
Yep.
So all you got to do is step back, get away from the noise, and go, why are you fighting this fight? Because I think most of America looks at this and goes, what is going on here?
Now, you know, if I'll go ahead, please.
Well, you know, you interrupted, I lost my thought, but I'll hop back. And that's why I have a notepad here. I was going to keep track of my fleeting thoughts. No, what I was talking about, was thinking about is we still have, this schism between legal and illegal immigration. And I think the same is beginning to be true with the division of law enforcement. Now, you have people say, well, ICE isn't really, they're not really police. Well, duh, they are. And Travis, your common sense, even though you're such an academic intellectual.
Yeah, right.
You managed to keep the common sense when you pushed in all the education. I've been accused of that, you know. But
I never have.
But the outstate law enforcement groups, the Minnesota, I can't remember what their name is. It's like their association of police. I've done some training with them, and the police unions are all aghast at this as well. And so, you know, that we don't want to paint with too broad a brush. And I just hate to see, you know, I use the term civil war, and it may be a little bit of a hyperbole, but I hate to see brother against brother, you know, in terms of the law enforcement community.
How dangerous is it, Dr. Schultz, that we've got high-ranking politicians and leaders that have told American citizens ICE isn't law enforcement? Let me tell you why that's so deadly and dangerous. After Renee Good was shot and killed, her wife, girlfriend, whatever you call it, she made the statement on camera, I can't believe they use real bullets.
Right. Right.
These individuals act just like if you call the president a fascist and Hitler, there's going to be a segment of our society that are mentally deranged that think, well, what do you do against Hitler? You have to kill Hitler. Yep. And of course, we saw it. It's the same thing with ICE. Yep. When you tell people that they're fascists and they're Nazis and they're not real law enforcement, they don't belong in this city when they have every legal right to, there's going to be a segment of society that says, well, we can do whatever we want to them, which is what we're seeing. And so they have created this chaos, and then they're blaming ICE for the chaos. They've created the environment. And man, I have to think this is not going to win politically because this looks so extreme and so insane.
Well, I don't know. There's a segment of people out there on the right. There's a small segment on the left. There's a small in the middle are the rest of us going, what the heck is happening here? But we're not vocal in that.
I go back to this, Brett. There's a study done post 2020, and they ask people their political affiliation, and they ask them how many unarmed blacks were shot last year by American law enforcement.
Yeah.
The people on the left and far left said on average 10,000 blacks were shot unarmed. The answer was 7. Okay, 10,000.
Yeah, right.
So I used to say this: if you actually believe that, you'd be out in the streets too. Well, they've done the same playbook with ICE. They've made people believe that they're these horrible, horrible people that are literally enforcing the law passed by Congress. That's what they're doing. So they've made people believe this. And if you believe that, you would be out there doing the same thing. And so this is the playbook they're using. And man, they have a handful of people that can create this chaos in these cities.
Well, you know, one of the things that this happens during wars where the opposing parties trying to make each other look like less than humans. Remember World War II, they had a stereotypical Japanese person, short, bug-eyed. It's not true, but it made it eat. Well, and the Germans, what do we say about them? They drew cartoons about the Germans. So if you can dehumanize the other side.
You advanced the Jews at all. You said that for a reason?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, off the air.
If you can dehumanize the other side, it makes it easier to attack.
No, that's exactly right. And I don't want to play the game who's more Nazi. Mm-hmm. But if you want to say who's dehumanizing groups of people, who's stereotyping, who's playing off
who's putting us in boxes,
right, playing the same propaganda game with the same MO that goes out, you know, so everybody has the talking points. Like I said, I don't want to play who's more Nazi, but people can choose.
Well, here's a point I've been wanting to make, and I think it has some validity. They're screaming at us that we're the fascists, right? Trump is a fascist. Who is the historical enemy of the fascists? The communists. So if you go back to Weimar Germany, pre-World War II, the fascists were fighting the communists. So if they call us fascists, ergo, that means, by historical tradition, they're the communists.
Well, you're giving these brain-dead people a lot of credit to even know history. Yeah. I mean, it is amazing to believe that since 2002, ICE has been fully funded and fully operational in this country. In fact, do a Google search. They were raiding Home Depots during the Obama administration. Obama gave Tom Homan an award for deporting so many people. And so nothing's really changed. it's just the president's changed and what the media has done. And the media, they have a lot of culpability here by not just telling the truth. We're saying, we're not saying anything controversial, gentlemen. What we're saying is the truth. Mm-hmm. ICE is can enforce federal law enforcement, yep. not just immigration, all federal law enforcement. Yep. They have, they've been duly, sworn by Congress to mm-hmm. enforce laws that Congress passed. The media doesn't want to tell them, but they just play into it. And man, if you don't hate the media enough, you need to hate them more.
Yeah, they're bad.
You know, while we're speaking on microphones, by the way, I guess, but still.
Those ICE agents need to put the patch on the back that says police. We're the police.
Right? Well, they're so deranged, they're stopping people that have just rented cars and accused them of being ICE.
Right, yeah. And they've accosted people in restaurants because their network of communists, they let each other know, hey, I think this tag number here, let's gather up. And they're just people going about their lives. But one guy, he was a sucker. He said, oh, I understand you. I understand you, but I am not that.
Let's be honest about this. These people are cowards. They will not come to Oklahoma. They will not come to Alabama.
No.
They won't come to Nevada and pull this stunt. They're going to specific areas where they know weakness prevails and cowards prevail. Bring that to my church. Yeah. Bring that to a Southern Baptist church. Let's see what happens.
Could you imagine if I'm in a restaurant, there's a crowd of people around me, given my weakened condition, my age and other things. Guess what's coming out of my holster, y'all?
Yeah.
I'm bringing out my smoke pole. Then one of those guys come at me, it's going to happen. And it'll be justified because of the totality of the circumstances.
I got to ask, are you doing a nystagmus? Or are you
1 minute.
There's 1 minute left. I think we need to... to be honest and ask, should ICE change its methodology and its optics and operate within the reality of public perception? Because what scares me is when the middle class begins to buy into this rhetoric, and then we lose the support of what Nixon called the silent majority. So the transparency and tactics, I hope we're looking at that to see if we can do OPSEC better and force protection better and coordination with local law enforcement better. I don't know.
Yeah, it becomes very difficult in these sanctuary cities when there's no assistance from local law enforcement.
Well, that's a key.
Historically, federal law enforcement is just a partner with local law enforcement. We all know they carry the copy machines around and copy all your reports
all right,
and take
guys.
Credit.
Hold that thought. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And it's law enforcement officers. We deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that website, it is GunLearn.com.
We're back. We're at the SHOT Show, the National Sports Shooting Foundation. SHOT's in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is the biggest firearms trade show in the world. We're right here live for you. So, Dr. Travis Chase, what do you see if you had to make a prediction for the next 7 days in Minneapolis? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't see the Trump administration backing down, but I do see potentially there could be a fatigue level on the other side. Now, there's a lot of paid protesters out there, but I think eventually, I think there's going to be a crescendo where you can only cover this so much. You can only do this so much. And I think there's going to be fatigue nationwide. Trump's specific polling numbers have actually not changed. His base has been 48%. It's actually an all-time high for two presidencies, even though all this chaos is going on. I think if we look back, I think 2020 showed a lot of people, we're not going to buy into all this chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I think it's not having the effect that they think. And I think as soon as these polling numbers, if the polling numbers continue to maintain, I think you're going to see a drawback from the left on this because it's not helping them. And I think it's not helping them because we were all fooled, not all of us, but many of us were fooled in 2020, and it changed the world. And, you combine the George Floyd and COVID on top of that, but people don't trust the media. They don't trust what they're seeing with their own eyes. I mean, they're telling us they're still going with this. It's peaceful. They're still saying this stuff on television, and we're all sitting there staring at it. We're still saying there was no risk to his life while a car is striking him. So in their own eyes, we're seeing it, but they're being told the opposite.
Dr. Schultz, what do you think? 7 days. If you had to make a bridge, what's going to happen in 7 days? A week from today, what's going to happen next week?
Well, I don't want to hedge on your question about the time limit, but what I'm afraid of is when the media attention fades and the fatigue that Travis talked about, I think there's going to be some long-term residual effect among those lone wolf activists. And I think we're going to see some potential individual cases of violence for several months as a result of this. That's going to ignite some brain cells in some people that are ready and willing
they're
to
out
make
there.
A name.
They're
out there.
We've all heard in the last few years, it's not the organized guys. It's that one guy, same one guy that tried to kill Schultz. It's the one guy. And was it the golf? It's always the one guy.
And they've been ridiculously successful in the last year. Ridiculously.
For some reason, the only combat to Donald Trump has been chaos. It's not ideas. It's been chaos and propaganda and lies. I mean, and it's everything that he's done. I mean, our drug overdoses are at a decade low right now in this country. It's been turned around, and we're still talking about that we're blowing up poor fishermen in the ocean. You know what I mean? So everything that you're seeing is chaos. I have to think that most of America, and maybe that's just 60% of America, Brad, they're tired of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they re-elected the president after more chaos than we've ever seen, right? I mean, they threw him in jail. They tried to shame him. It was just pure chaos for 4 years about him. And so I think most of America that can have a kind of think about this, once again, I think that they go, why are we for a particular political party that seems to be for all of this stuff that seems outside the bounds of what America's about? And so, yeah, Donald Trump is a lightning rod, but if you close your eyes and listen to what he says, and I listened to a press conference this morning, his ideas are pretty good. That's why I think his polling is kind of remained the same. I think his ideas are pretty good, but the chaos that's around him, that's not necessarily his fault. I mean, you just listen to who's saying what. It's not Donald Trump calling people fascists and Nazis. It's not Donald Trump telling people to go riot and protest. It's not Donald Trump saying that Minneapolis law enforcement isn't law enforcement. It's everybody else.
Yeah. Seems to me that, and I've never met the man, I don't know the man, but I think he's a genius. He starts these, just by words, starts a fire over here, and then he's moving on. So while they're dealing with the fire over here, he's already dealing with the very next thing. I think that's the genius of Donald Trump, is he gets these people exhausted.
Trump 2.0.
And they can't, at some point, they think they're going to go, I don't know.
Well, let me tell you, realistically, they're not mad at Donald Trump because he's Republican, because he's not really. He's a really moderate. He's a Democrat for 20 plus years, right? But they're mad at him because he is the first Republican president that has grabbed the power of the presidency.
Right.
He's the chief law enforcement officer. He's the chief of the finance. I mean, the power of the presidency is a lot of power. Democrats have had no problem doing that through the years, Dr.
Right.
Lynch. I mean, look at Obama gets Obamacare. Boom. I mean, you know, filibuster, who cares? You know, Biden, Green New Deal. I mean, the Democrats have no problem with power.
Mm-hmm.
But when Donald Trump literally just uses the same rules that they use, all of a sudden it's retribution.
Right.
All of a sudden this is crazy. And so it's really, he's unlike what the George Bushes of the world have done, which is, you know, let's try to play nice so the media doesn't talk bad about us. Donald Trump says, we're going to act just like a Democrat president and we're going to wield power.
He's definitely wielding it.
Some of that is frankly scary, and I don't want to come off as 100% pro-Trumper because he's done some things that bothers me.
I agree.
And that also is going to wear thin to his detriment. I'll tell you what lost, and you know, without talking about possibility of voter fraud in the 2020 election, the person responsible for Trump's loss after his first administration was Donald Trump.
Yep.
And I think that same kind of wariness, you know, we appreciate what you're doing. We like you being a regular guy. We like you being plain spoken. You know, we like that you don't pull any punches. But, you know, renaming the Kennedy Center and, you know, there are just some things that are kind
putting
of
putting a picture of the auto pin for Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, that's just too funny. You got to go with that. But I think the Democrats are going to take the 2028 election because of the
20th presidency.
No, not
presidency. 26 midterms.
The midterms.
Yeah, I mean, I think historically we see that in midterms. So I think that has to be expected. They'll take Congress.
But I wish the American public would ask the Democrat Party, and I want a strong Democratic Party. I believe in a two-party system. You got to have some friction to get some compromise. But if we just say, okay, let me find a Democrat leader that will give us an agenda besides we hate Trump. Give us some policy. Give us something to
chew on. And I'd love to have a Democrat Party that would actually have primaries, Dr. Schultz. That'd be nice.
Well, yeah. I don't want to say who's more Nazi, but, they're playing the game.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have an actual primary election for Democrats.
I don't know if it would have made any difference time around, but yeah.
Do you guys think that Donald Trump has in his mind, let's 2026, we can lose the midterm, I'm going to get as much done now as I possibly can? And if he does get it done, is he worried about it getting rolled back? Is it getting rolled back?
I think his frenetic pace in the first year was very intentional because he probably recognized politically that you're going to flame out a little bit. They're already trying to roll back. I mean, they're trying to defund ICE. I know they're planning an impeachment. They may not figure out what it's for yet, but they'll go ahead and try to do it.
Right.
That's that very risk if the Democrats take power again, particularly executive power, which, by the way, is like 90% of our government, right? Mm-hmm. So Congress for the last, I don't know how many years, 50 years, have been saying, well, you know, the bureaucrats can take care of the fine mm-hmm. points. Well, guess who's in charge of the bureaucrats? The president of the United States. And so so Congress has ceded power to the executive, and Trump does not give an inch away of what is lawful presidential power. Now, he pushed some boundaries.
That's the big difference.
And the courts may push back a little bit on that.
But the interesting part, and just to confirm what you said, is there's been a lot of lawsuits filed, and the Supreme Court has ruled for Trump for that executive power for the most part.
Yeah, he's had, I think, close to 400 lawsuits compared to a third of that in the entire Biden administration.
And while the left's calling the Supreme Court corrupt, that's what they do, they're just ruling on past rulings with executive power when they come down with that.
Yeah, and if either party decides to denigrate and to invalidate our respect for the rule of law as expressed in the Supreme Court, that's where the system would really break down.
Well, there's only one party doing it right now.
That's true.
All right, Dr. Travis Yates, any last thoughts for today for the people out there listening while we're at the Shot Show?
Well, we've talked a lot about chaos, and I hate to spend a whole show on politics, but that's what the world is, and that's when they watch TV, that's what they see. You have your own responsibility, right, to uphold what's right, what's wrong, lead your family well, try to ignore all the nonsense in the background.
It all starts, and the singer Michael Jackson said it starts with the man in the mirror, and I'm big.
I thought you were going to say beat it.
No, that never worked out. Dr. Joel Schultz, any last thoughts for the show?
Support your local police. I mean, do things that are just nice and respectful and cooperative. And if you feel like you've been treated wrong, complain later.
Got it.
But it all comes down to what's going on in your hometown.
All right.
Well, guys, Brett, it's been you did a fantastic job hosting Dr. Schultz and Dr. Travis Yates. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. We do take this time normally talk about the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Rennie Sons 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. Travis here is on the board of directors for the Wounded Blue.
I'm standing right here in Las Vegas.
That's right. So thanks so much for what you guys do. And guys, want to mention our sponsors. You know, we have, guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths. We've got Gauls.com. Don't forget about the code RADIO15 to get 15% off most of your purchases. We have ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA, GunLearn.com, iMedicare.live, SaferRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com, and also FisherLandoBass.com with Zach. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.